Okay, so we are in Siman Resh Mem Hei. So two odds and ends to pick up on. Number one, we skipped the sif, but I did notice in the Nishmas Avram here, he has an interesting discussion about the topic. If we go back in the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Siman Tesvav, so it is the sif Tesvav, or in Siman Resh Mem Hei, sif Tesvav. So... So there it gives a number, right? It says, "Kureshim Hesif Tesvav." Right, Chaf Hei Tinokus Maspik Lahem Lamid Echad. The 25 Tinokus children is enough for one Malamid. Hayosar Al Chaf Hei Ad Mem Ushivin Acher L'Sayev Limudim. So if it's above 25 to if it's 25 to 40, so then you should get somebody else in order to help out. So there is, he has a discussion in the Nishmas Avram here about whose responsibility is it then if the child is handicapped, if this child has special needs. I mean, that's the responsibility on the city. The city has to see to it that there's teachers to this proportion of 25 students per teacher. So what about if times change? And maybe one teacher is not going to be able to handle 25. And what about if there are special needs? If there's a child that needs special needs, so whose responsibility is that? Is that the parent's responsibility, or is that the community's responsibility to see to it that it's covered? So if you recall, we also learned previous to that in Sif Yud Beis, earlier than that, that if they don't set up this the system, I think this is actually in no. Here someplace. Oh, they're in Zion. That if you don't set this up, it's like the city's put in chayrim. It's like a terrible situation, etc. So what is it that one's responsible to do? So it goes from the Shulchan Aruch Harav that you can't impose knossos, you can't impose fines upon a city unless if it's in fulfillment of the tekana of Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Meaning if they are reaching the numbers that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla put out there, so you're not going to be able to hold that against them, and that's their minimum responsibility.
This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla?
This is the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara itself puts out these numbers, mm-hmm. And it's coming from that tekana. But what about if there is children that are going to require special needs? So it quotes here from Rav Moshe. It's not from a tshuva in the way it's quoted here. I have a feeling it might be someplace in Chelek Ches or Chelek Tes, because a lot of these essays that were put out in various journals got collected. That's somewhat of what got collected in the later editions, in the posthumous volumes of Igros Moshe. By the way, on the Svarim blog, about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, they did someone did an analysis of the last two chalakim of Igros Moshe to see if Rav Moshe actually wrote them or not. He did based on the wordings, the words that are used and the phrases that are used in the later volumes, and he compared them to the earlier volumes to see if they're used. So he thinks that Rav Moshe did write it, or at least, dictated it. Which might account for there being more Roshi Tevos, and things of that nature got added in or taken. I forgot which direction they went. So that part was dictated, but the wording is aligned enough for them to say conclusively that most of the things are coming from Rav Moshe's style of speech. So anyways, I don't know.
Is this guy, whoever did it, did he also analyze the Chumash to decide whether or not God actually wrote it? Or maybe there were three or four people who actually wrote, because the style is not the same in all of the Chumashei Torah.
Not here.
So
I don't think it was. I thought it was interesting.
I'm sure it's interesting, but we don't always write the same.
Correct. You can go. You can read the article or not, or whatever. It's fine. Anyways, so he quotes here Rav Moshe from an article of God. So I'm not sure if it's in Igros Moshe or not. If it would be, it would be in one of the later volumes, where he suggests that if there are special needs, so that's part of the father's responsibility to hire a teacher for the smaller class, depending on the capabilities of the child, as defined by experts. Meaning, if there is a requirement for children to get that, the responsibility goes on the parent. However, he quotes here at the end that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashar both disagree. They told me that the community is obligated to set up small enough classes that are appropriate for all students. And just as it's obligated to see to it that the poor, the sick person gets treatment. So it's true, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, as well as he quotes from Rav Yashar here, that the takana is 25 children. But there is also communal responsibility to make sure that these children are taken care of out of the communal funds. I mean, that's part of the responsibilities on the city as opposed to the responsibility on the parent. It could be, again, I didn't see the tshuva, so I don't know what exactly the context that he was writing in, but it could be that the attitude might be different in America than it is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, much more of the education is covered by the government as opposed to in America, where if you're outside of the public school system, you're going to be somewhat on your own. So it could be that that might account for some of the distinction between them, but he seems to lay it out as a machlokas along those lines. Okay, another thing that was...
the bottom line is what, in terms of special needs?
So it's machlokas. It's machlokas whether it's then on the parents, and the parents, if the parents then can't afford it, so then it's their responsibility to raise the money, or to, you know, who's the tzedakah case? Is the parent the tzedakah case, and that they're responsible to make sure that their kids are adequately taken care of? Or if there's a kid in this circumstance, so the responsibility is on the city. I mean, the city is responsible to make sure every kid is taken care of, and it's a citywide responsibility as opposed to a parent responsibility. So Rav Moshe seems to put it on more on the parents, while these other Rav Shlomo Zalman Rav Yashiv seem to put it on the city.
We don't really have cities running on schools.
Right, that might account for some of the different attitude as well.
They may give you some money, but they don't run your school if you go into a yeshiva or a day school.
Okay. No, but what he says, he's referring to the city, is the year, meaning the communal obligation. If we have so again, we don't necessarily have an organized community like is being described in Shulchan Aruch. But okay. Another thing that he neglected to mention last time, we learned last time the issue...
In Tess, it looks like that we're making some accommodation for somebody who's slow.
I didn't read it that way. I thought Tess means that we just don't kick him out and we make no accommodation for the kid who's slow. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if the kid can't handle it, we say it's better that he stay there, and we hopefully he'll pick up whatever he picks up.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so The last time we spoke about the new, can a new melamed sort of take the place of the other melamed? And some of the issues that seem to be relevant to, like, hasagas gvul issues there. Can you replace the melamed with another one, etc.? We had machlokas there. So in the Pesukim Utshuvos, he quotes from several who, he assumes it as a davar pashut, that the whole discussion is only amongst parents, that parents see a certain malamid and they want to hire that one over this one. So are they allowed to get rid of this one in favor of that one or not? That's the whole discussion. But malamid B is not allowed to make the request. Malamid B is not allowed to go over to the parents and say, you know, I know you're studying with Rev Shmerel, but, you know, I'm Rev Farrell, and Rev Farrell is always better than Rev Shmerel, and you should get rid of him in favor of me. I'll be able to teach him faster, I'll be able to teach him better, etc. So that he's not allowed to do. That would be an issue of a Sugga school on the Rebbe. So I this actually happened to me, sort of. There was, when I was in yeshiva, I used to give chaburas to advanced high school students on Thursday nights. Like, I was in Tzvicha, and these were guys who were high school guys. So somebody else came over to me and said, you know, I'm just letting you know, I want to do it. And Kina So from Tarba Chachma, right? I'm going to try to get them or recruit your students or something. So ultimately he decided to do something on Fridays, whatever. It wasn't, it ended up not being an issue. But according to this, that's not allowed. I mean, according to this, that it's not, it's only applicable to the him being allowed to be there and him being allowed to be hired. But for him to actively pursue Talmidim, or for him to actively pursue the parents in order to get the parents Talmidim, that seems to be not appropriate according to this section.
That would be if they're paid, right?
What?
That would be if the teacher's paid.
Yeah. Oh, right. So in this scenario, it wasn't being paid, but one could argue that there are professional considerations and things like that. Yeah. All right. So... okay, so now we head on to Chaf Beis. Now, Chaf Beis is...
this is on the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes. Let's take a quick look. I don't think there's really any Beis Yosef on this. Yeah, it wasn't really, it was really quoting the Sfei from the Gemara. It's earlier on in that Gemara about the Kina Sof from Tarva Chachma. And here, why is that discussed in Baba Basra? So the second parak of Baba Basra discusses neighbor zoning codes. You know, can neighbors protest and not permit various businesses to take place in particular areas? So they have the right to guard against that. So the Shulchan Aruch here paskins. Now the main sugya of this appears in Choshen Mishpat. So we'll get to what it says there momentarily. But here it says, right, Echa mivnei hachatzir, o mivnei mavoi. If there is some members of the chatzir or from the mavoi, shebikesh leasos melami tinokos. They want to make sounds like themselves or establish schools or establish themselves as being teachers. So ein shcheinav yicholim limchos biyados. So the neighbors are not permitted to protest against this. So originally, you're just reading this out in the open, you might seem like it's a it's like a saga school issue. I mean, they don't have the right to stop you from opening a new school. But the example, the idea that it's talking about is just zoning. I mean, they don't want all these kids around, so they don't have the right to stop you from opening a school. So too, if somebody had a school and his friend comes along and says, I'm going to open a school too, in order to get other children, or I'm going to compete, right? That also you're not allowed to protest. As we have this pasuk that Hashem wants, in order for Hashem's righteousness to grow, so he wants more Torah and it will be glorified, etc., etc. Because whenever multiple schools open in close proximity, it's always a clear example of Yagdil Torah v'yadir, right? It always leads to that. But anyways, so that's the assumption that the Shulchan Aruch is going with, that one cannot prevent someone else from opening a school nearby. Now this appear from opening up a school. So the Gemara, if one didn't make a copy of this, we'll go outside here and Simin Kuf, or Kuf Nun Vav.
So the reason that's okay is you're not necessarily directly recruiting.
No. It sounds like it's a mitzvah thing. How does this contract with what we just said about are you then going to recruiting? So he seems like I guess, well. I hear right, how are you gonna distinguish between them? It's unclear. Let's quickly take a look. Again, just retrace those words. What was the Dafkim look? Vedasha kolza legabi av hasochem alamid livno. O menahel tamatora hasochem alamid tamatora shem yichon lahavir asarishim ofim mishitvaru. Val malamid hasheni asur lahatzi la'av o lemanah shiisatu asarishim biyichu oto. Ki gozol bekachas parnasas arishon kemavur b'shulchan aruch hushen mishpat. So, v'ayim b'shulchan aruch sham, nikol lo kemutel odom luschem alamid livno af shekfar malamid eitzel odom acher af opisha yidizeh yazo asamakom arishon.
Two different things. In one case, you're replacing one with the other. Here,
you're
just opening up a new place.
Right, but you're going after the same students. It doesn't say that. Well, it does say that. Hatinok she'etzel zeh, right? Okadei she'evoa tinok she'etzel zeh lezeh. You're trying to get those kids to come to you.
But, there'll be some probably in each, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. We have to work out what the... I'm not sure what the distinction is. Yeah, it's really a Choshen Mishpat issue then here, but so in Choshen Mishpat, it makes it a little bit longer. Here in Kuf Nun Vav Sif Gimel, he writes here, V'chein Yeshlo Lilmod Tinokos Yisrael Torah B'soch Beso, that you could teach children in your house. Again, this is the title of the chapter, is Din Mishiyar Lim Nasu Shal Chaveru Mishimehi Sechor El Ir Acheres. Okay. The one who's going into the... This is really actually a Sagas Kabbalah issue. So the neighbors can't argue and say we can't sleep because of all these kids that you have around. And the same thing would be for any mitzvah, for anything having to do with mitzvah. So you're not allowed to prevent someone else from moving in. That's what it says here in Kuf Nun Vav Sif Gimel. So what would other mitzvos be? So what other places would, so what are we talking about? A shul, right? Beis Medrash. But then you start getting into like these sort of quasi-mishnah, like what about a hospital? So is a hospital a dvar mitzvah? Or right, or a doctor's office, or a sofer, or a vaisdin, or some of these other types of things. So there is a bit of a, some point out that two sifim earlier, in Kuf Nun Vav Sif Aleph, so there it said, Echad Mivnei HaMavoi She'enu Mefulash, right, Shevikish Lasos Rofe, or Uman, O Gardi, O Sofer Shtaros, O Malami Tinokos, Lima She'enu Shel Torah, to teach things not Torah, meaning to open up a secular place, Bnei HaMavoi Ma'akvanala, so people of the Mavoi are able to stop him. So some raise the question, wait a second, some of those things on that list, like a Rofe, or a Sofer, even though it only says Sofer Shtaros, but those seem to be Dvar Mitzvah type of things. So are you allowed to, so what's the story? Is it a mitzvah wide thing, or is it something specifically for Tinokos? So the truth is, in the Beis Yosef, he quotes from the Ramban said, no, this heter was only for schools, no other mitzvah. I mean, that's part of, it's a heter for schools, part of the Takana of Yeshua ben Gamel or something, and there's a special school zoning exempt status, and that's it. But that's not the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like other Rishonim, that say no, that it would apply to all mitzvahs. So how does one distinguish between them? So the Taz here on the side in the Choshen Mishpat says that that the L'chalik Tzedakos Oli Spal B'yod L'horos Dafka B'inyan Mitzvah Hatolei B'tziruf Anashim Kamo Elu, that the only thing that one is permitted to override the tax, the zoning, is if it's a mitzvah that requires a gathering of people. Meaning, we need to have a school someplace. So each mavu is going to say, "Well, not in my what is it, NIMBY? Not in my backyard." I'm going to say, "Not in my backyard." Well, we have to gather someplace. So you have to find a place. So no, you can't project those kinds of places. But if it's the type of mitzvah where, in theory, it could be there, but you could also go to the other person's house. So, for instance, a person could have a mezuzah and tefillin store, and everybody could come to his store. Or he could just, drive around from place to place and deliver mezuzahs to people's houses. So, if that's the case, if it's not ma'akiv that there be a place that people gather, says the Taz, so then if that's then the neighbors are able to protest. The neighbors could say, no, don't do it here, go travel and go deal with it some other place. That's one answer. Answer number two is, Chassam Sofer explains that you're permitted to do a mitzvah mutelas ala tzibur, meaning it's a mitzvah that requires a gathering. So, all right, it's got to be someplace, so you're not going to be able to reject it. But if it's mitzvahs that don't require any gathering, it's just one-on-one, so then they would not be able to reject it. So there is an interesting dispute here in the Sefer Pisrei Choshen. So when I learned Choshen Mishpat with Gabe a couple of years ago, so we used these Svarim well. So this is written by the same, when we learned Ribbis, so there was the Sefer, Taurus Ribbis, I think that was the name. So it was written by the same person. What? Gabe! Remember Gabe? Gabe Pollock? The lawyer, the first Seder? It's in all the first Seder emails, the picture of us. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So this was Rav Bloy, he wrote the Sefer, the main Sefer on Ribbis, I think Taurus Ribbis, is that the name of it? I forget. Rav Bloy, Rav Yaakov Yeshaya Bloy. The story goes that he was a banker. And while he was a banker, he realized that there's a lot of interesting Ribbis things going on, and realized that he then couldn't find too many people that knew too many answers. So he decided to write a 2-volume work on Hilchos Ribbis, then found his way, wrote an 8-volume work on Choshen Mishpat entitled Pisrei Choshen, and also has the main Sefer on Hilchos Mezuzah, which is the way I came across him the first time, entitled Chovas Adar. The Chovas Adar is written by him. So it's all in the same style, like some little things on top, and then massive footnotes on the bottom. That's for play. So anyways, so he has a shaila at the end here. He says, what about the following? That can people in an apartment, this actually happens, not necessarily in a neighborhood like ours a lot, but in other places a lot, can people keep a shul from opening in their building? Why would be the problem with that? So it's not so much the coming and going, but there is an issue with living on top of a shul. right? So there's an issue with living atav of a shul. In fact, the Taz, so there's an issue. It's unclear how usher it is. It's unclear which parts are usher. But the Taz says that, there is a Taz that said he used to live on top of a shul, and his kid's bedroom or something was right on top of the Aron Kodesh, and he thinks he lost, several of his children died, and he attributes it to the fact that they were on top of a, so he doesn't say it's usher, but he does not, he's not a fan of it. So, but it also might be an, only an issue on top of the Aron. So the only thing that one would say that's a problem is to sleep on top of the Aron, but it would, might, maybe it is like, you know, not a good idea at all, just to be on top of a shul. So is that, but it's not a halacha. So he says, right? Shemachmir medira shemal beisakneses. I feel ba'ofen shemedina shari. Even in a situation where medina, it's okay. Im yachol hashchein la'akiv nifni achumra. Can the neighbors say we don't want the shul here because of the chumras involved of not living on top of a shul? Right. So that's a very hard. Because anytime there's a chosh and mishpat issue, you can always say, Kimli, I want to hold like that halacha, I want to hold like that psak, that it's not going to be a problem. So can they protest along those lines? That is the shaila that the Pisri Choshen concludes with along these lines in Chaf Beis. Okay, so now the Ramah. There is a famous, the Ramah covers here a whole bunch of things in Siv Chaf Beis.
So it's about online there, but in terms of other things besides the school, it does apply.
So it seems Shulchan Aruch Paskins that he says l'chol davar mitzvah. The problem is two sifim earlier, he seems to exclude certain mitzvahs from this. So there's a different achronim trying to figure out ways to solve this. So it seems like it's something along the lines of, if it's a place where you need to gather,
okay.
So the neighbors can't stop. People are going to have to gather someplace. But if it's a place where...
except for the shul, which you could...
So the shul issue, he points out, is that there, maybe they could protest more, but it's not just about noise. I mean, the issue in the Gemara and then Shulchan Aruch is saying, oh, we don't want it here because of all, it's going to lead to parking problems. It's going to lead to all this noise, right? But the shul, it could lead to, it's usher for me to live here, right? It's not just, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night, it's going to be, I'm not going to be able to sleep here ever. So maybe in that case, one would have the right to protest back. That's the shaila he raises. So he says, yes, if it's la halacha, they would. He thinks la halacha, you would be able to protest and keep him out. If you, right, I don't have to move because you want to build a shul here or something. But if it's only a chumra, so that's already a shaila.
So what other davar mitzvah there that require? What other davar mitzvah is it that requires a gathering except for a shul?
Well, school. I mean, school is the main.
School we said was okay. I mean, that was like the.
Right, school, it might only be a school. So beyond that, you would then go shul. Right? Beyond that, maybe you would say, nowadays, you would say a hospital, even though Shulchan Aruch says a rofe, it's really referring to a doctor's office. But a hospital, you sort of do need a gathering. Like, it doesn't really work as well if you're just going to say, oh, let the doctor travel around from house to house and make house calls. Right? So that's not going to work. So maybe it would apply to that. If you want to put all of refuah on into the mitzvah box. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that works.
A wedding hall.
Wow.
They have them like in Brooklyn. They have,
Right. Right. A wedding hall might qualify. That's something that the Taz says that's something that requires a gathering together. So maybe it would. Yeah. Okay. So the Ramah here, and the truth is, there's a very long. The dark emotion at the end of the sif is an entire page. So a lot of it we actually covered earlier with regards to other things in terms of Hilchos, Piskei Halacha, and things like that. But there is a... But the Ramah does pick up two of these paragraphs and places them here. What about the following? Here in the Ramah in Siman Sif Chaf Beis. It says, Rav HaYoshiv Be'ir V'lomi L'Rabin. You have a Rav who's in the city, and he's a teacher. He's like the rabbi of the city. Now, look what it's the way the keep in mind the phraseology. There's a rabbi living in the city who teaches many people in the city, right? It doesn't say that he's employed by the city, right? He just does it, right? So yachal chacham acher lavo v'lomud gam kinsham. So another chacham has the right to come and also teach in the city. right? Afilu mikapeach tzas parnasas on arish, parnasas arish. And even if he's going to diminish the parnasa a little bit of the first person, kigon shakal kiblu harishun aleihem l'rav v'notel prasbihem. For example, that the congregation will accept shakal kiblu harishun aleihem l'rav v'notel prasbihem alzeh afilu. Right, and even if they did sort of accept him as their rabbi, and he does take some amount of payment for this, afilu achi still yachul hasheni lavu l'dursham. The second person would come and live there, ulahachzik rabbanus, and establish his own rabbanus b'chol davar k'marishon like the first person. Imu gadol v'roy l'kach, assuming that he's eligible, right? Assuming that he's an eligible rabbi, he has the right to set up shop there, to set up shop there as well. Yeah, okay. Aval, the Rambam continues. Im bo chacham ach sinai le'ir. If there's a guest rabbi who shows, you know, he's a traveling rabbi who shows up in the city, ein lo lekapeach skar harav adarsham. He's not permitted to take the payment of the rabbi who lives there. Lasos chupas v'kiddushin in order to be mesader kiddushin. Litil haskar haba mehem, to take the money that comes from being mesader kiddushin. Ho v'hu paras harav hadarsham, because that would be diminishing the rabbi who lives there. Aval mutter lasos hachupa v'lases haskar l'rav hakavua. But he could be mesader kiddushin so long as he gives the money to the rabbi who's already there. Okay. So here, let's just do one more line here. So v'chein mutter lo ladun bein shnei balidin. He's also allowed to judge. I mean, if two people come to him, shabir habayim lefan of ladun, that come to him to be judged. I mean, if two people, look at that, there's a rabbi in town, we're going to go and ask him to judge the Torah between us, that's okay too. Why? The dilma harav shabir ein memotzi lehem. Because maybe they're not going to go to the rabbi of the city anyways. Aval ein laharos iser v'heter olidrosh linhog srara ba'asrei dechavre. But he can't paskin iser v'heter halachos, meaning to try to paskin things that might go against whatever the custom is already in the city, or to darshan and establish srara in the city, meaning to start carrying some amount of authority. So that's something that he would not be permitted to do. Okay, so the first the Shach points out just in Tesvav that this is all Ladina, but the minog might be different. Just bear that in mind. But I think some of the action here takes place in the Piskei Tshuvos. So the Piskei Tshuvos here, Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph. So he says here, so Ayin Be'er Heitev Ayin B'Tshuvos Chsam Sofer. This is Mekapeach Chsas, even though he's going to diminish a little bit of the money of the first person. So the Piskei Tshuvos in Yud Aleph says, see the Be'er Heitev and see the Tshuvos Chsam Sofer. Simon Reish Lamed, De'ein Elu Hadvarim Nemrim El B'Yemehem. That this was only back in the day. Why? Shelo Kiblu HaRav Kepoa. Because they didn't accept the rabbi as a job. It sounds like there was a rabbi in the city, and he's there, and they sort of, they gave him money to marry them off and things like that. But he's not like he had a contract to be there or anything. But El Kolzeh Tamar Chacham Hinig B'Neiro. And there was Tamar Chacham who, led his city, but it wasn't like an official position. Aval Bizman Hazeh, but nowadays, Shemekablim Rav, that nowadays they accept the rabbi. V'Oker Diraso, and he moves in order to be there, right? Uvalakan, V'Kotzvin Schirason Kepoel, and they establish his money, his payment, like a worker. Uvtocha Kitzvehi Scharo Mechupos V'Gitin. Included in that accounting is the fact that it's expected that he's also going to make money from Chuppas and Gittin, hopefully more Chuppas than Gittin, right? Vechadoma. Imkein hu eno notel pras shelo kedin klal. Therefore, the other person can't take money, right? Ulai hakihilos palo avon sheitilu parnasas rav al elu. It could be that the cities are not doing the appropriate thing, that they're paying the rabbi in this way. Hayachidim. But he shouldn't be embarrassed in accepting this type of money if it's done in an appropriate way. I'm not sure. I wonder what's going on in the Chsam Sofer's town. the Chsam Sofer was known for sending rabbis all over the place. It could be that he was involved with a bunch of these things. He says, Ukvar zacha zehara b'chol rufkei da'avida da'asi b'ligvula. And therefore, the rabbi is entitled to all of the revach, all of the money to be made in that place. And it's prohibited for any person to come in and try to take that, and if you do, so your mom is stealing, right? That's considered gazela, right? So what's the Samson for saying? Saying if there's an official position that they made up, that the people in the city made up with the rabbi and said, you know, we're going to pay you X amount, and you're also going to be entitled to do all the gittin and kedushin, and we'll also make sure, you know, that we're going to sell our chametz through you every year, and you're also going to be the person who does you know, whatever it is. So if that's the case, if there's actually an agreement with people in the city, so then you can't have person rabbi number two come in and set up shop and start demanding these types of things as well. Okay, so that's issue number one. Issue number two, lasos hachupa velasis. So there is a problem though that whenever, if we're going to say, oh well, there's only going to be one rabbi in town and he's going to handle all of these things and he's got a monopoly. So what happens whenever there's a monopoly? What's the fear price whenever there's a monopoly? Price goes up. What else?
We won't have enough to go around.
Or the rabbi will just be lazy. Right? Well, it's all coming to him anyways. So see the Nodeb Yehuda. So out comes the, my altar is 80. Tinyana chelik evan ezer simon pei gimel. Shekasav de kvar nagu harabanim silsu ba'atvam umitzad haminog ein acher yachol esader. That they've already made an establishment, agreement among themselves, and no one else is allowed to come in and be Mesara Kedushin, even if they're going to give the money to the rabbi. But, it's all assuming the rabbi is in town, right? But if they waited until the morning, right, and he's not there, you don't have to worry about the kavod anymore, right? He's not showing up. He's on vacation someplace. In a place that he did inappropriately, if the rabbi didn't show up in time. What word do you have there? Bachariko. Not sure what that is. Barav shirotza lenosh hachacham. And if they did this, and the rabbi shows up in town and says, hey, what are you doing weddings here? So I'm going to punish you. So if the rabbi says, I'm going to punish this guest rabbi who shows Shesidri Kedushin Achar Shem Tino Alav after they waited for him, Velo Bani, he didn't show up, right? Who Shaloba? Roy Hulonish, the rabbi should be punished. Al Shirotza Lando Shalokadas, and the fact that he wanted to punish this guest rabbi for an inappropriate reason. Okay, so even though the rabbi has the rights to everything, he better make sure to make himself available at the appropriate times.
Rabbi Dan has this on a tape.
This Nodeb Yehuda?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, Pesach Shu, you find all the interesting stories. So then the Ramah continues on and says, what about the following? He says, Misha Huchsuk L'Rav Be'ir, whoever is established in the city, Afilu Hichsik Ba'atzmo Be'ezes Rara, and he's established for himself some type of official position, right? Ein laho rido migdulasa. You can't remove him. Af al pi shabal l'sham acher gadol menu. Even if someone else shows up who's greater than him. So that's interesting, Chiddush A. But beyond that, afilu bino uvem bino. But even his son and his grandson, liolam kodem l'acherim. They get preferential treatment. Kol zman shememalim makum avoseihem b'yira v'heim chacham gzas. So long as they will fulfill the father's position with reverence, and they are some amount of chacham, meaning they're not necessarily the greatest, but there is going to be Yerusha, even if they're, as long as they can learn somewhat, so long as they can be somewhat big Talmid Chacham. So that's a very interesting thing. So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva on this, I believe in Yud Beis, where I saw it. So it's a long tshuva. There is a summary of it in Torah Musings, which is where I knew there was a Chassam Sofer on it. So with the power of Google, came across that and looked up the tshuva today as well, where I found. So it was very, very long, but which is ironic because the beginning of it is that the Chassam Sofer again. I'm curious if it like has to do with his talmidim or something. But somebody was the rabbi someplace. And he died, and his son was going to take over the position. And a really wealthy guy in town said, I don't want the son, I want somebody else. So a group came, sent a letter to Chassam Sofer asking for his opinion on the matter. So Chassam Sofer opens up by saying, you know, I'm hesitant to give my opinion on the matter, but this is something that calls for a Din Torah. And a Din Torah, it's not appropriate to give an answer until you've heard from both sides. But I'll give you a couple of thoughts. And then he goes on for a couple of pages describing his thoughts. But the yisod that he gives, one of the yisodas he gives is very interesting. And actually, I was thinking about this the other night, Bob, when we were talking about the Chazal Yahu position, this issue. And that that the Chassam Sofer says, what is this based on? The idea that there's going to be Yerusha by Rabbanus. And that is, it's really the Srara aspect of the Rabbanus, the authority aspect of the Rabbanus. And it has a source in Hilchus Malachim, in the laws of kings. So why is it, in the laws of kings, is it that we go by Yerusha, by kings? Wouldn't we want the best king around to be in charge of the Jewish people? Like, why should there be Srara for an official authoritative position? And the answer is that it's not necessarily true that you need to have the best person for the job. You need an adequate person for the job, and or a good person for the job. And to try to have huge discussions and huge debates about who's the absolutely best person, so that can ultimately be diminishing at the end. Right? You take a lot of time, you're never going to know if you got it right, and it's going to lead to machlokas anyways. Right? So the ideal is, so long as the replacement is good enough, is qualified for the position, right? So that should be sufficient to award him the position. I mean, the fact that he's qualified and B has this Yerusha, so that should be enough to swing the position in his favor. That's the theory that Chassam Sofer has. In the Pesachim Teshuvos, he says, I'm not going to talk about this at all, but here's a couple of notes you might want to look up, and it's this footnote. Right? There's too many details to try to figure out what to work, but there is an idea of Yerusha by Rabbanus, but it is... But that too has often led to much machlokas as well.
The assumption is supposed to reduce machlokas.
Yeah,
right. No, the assumption is that it would reduce machlokas. Right. Right. If you want to have some details on this in America, see the book "Who Will Lead Us" that came out in the last year or two. It traces five Hasidic dynasties in America, how they figured out who their next person would be. Of the five it mentioned, two of them found an individual, two of them split up into two, and one of them decided we're not hiring anybody, and that's Chabad. Right? But they did Munkach and Biana, and those are the two that they found someone, even though there was an interruption, and then the Bubba and Sakmers talked about how it split. So I found it fascinating, especially the Munkach one, but that's, I have my family connection there. Okay, so just to finish up the Ramah here. Oh, yikes. Just to finish up the Ramah here. So the Ramah then comments, right? Uvamakum sheish minog lekabel rav alzman katzav. But if there's a place where they give the rabbi a contract, right? It's for a certain amount of time. Osha minog livchor b'mishi yirtzu harashus biyadam. Or the minog is to choose that who they want. So they have permission to do so. They could set it up that way. But if he has established himself as that he has accepted the kehila upon himself, and certainly if he has a srara, so nobody is permitted to try to bring him down. Right, that's not a lot. That's what the Ramah says here at the end. So what does it mean? Ratzon Asrara. So says the Piskei Tshuva here. Right. So Ayin Chushin Mishpat V'Ayin Be'or Metumim Sham Shitzavuch Kechruchyash Al Harabanim She'osim Beli Rishus Hatzibur. That he yells loudly at Rabbanim that start setting up shop without permission of the congregation. So
who yells loudly?
Yeah. What?
Who yells loudly?
The Urim Tumim he's quoting from here.
Oh, somewhere.
Yeah, he's quoting from the Svarim who are upset about those types of things.
In America, you have one other possibility. The neighborhood changes.
Yeah.
And then people...
I mean, and they leave the rabbi hanging. He's left there without... Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll head into Hilchos Tamat Torah next week.